genes are not typically people's destiny. It's more to do with that diet, lifestyle, environment.
It doesn't matter what car you've got in the garage or how fancy your home is, it all means nothing if you don't favour your health.
Typically, for the average human at home, where would you start and work through?
It's a really good question, because I would always start people.
Chris Barnes is a biohacking expert and certified epigenetic coach with more than 15 years of experience.
He empowers others to live longer, stronger, and more connected lives.
This type of genotype can have a real impact on their ability to produce dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine. They're going to be flat, depressed, potentially dealing with anxiety. We can correct that for these people by
bread, sugar, alcohol. Just give us why we shouldn't be eating too much of that.
It's driving poor gut health, it's driving inflammation in our body, leading to...
What is up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of Unemployable. Today, we're joined by Chris Barnes from Chris Barnes Wellness. This is a really interesting discussion. It's a little left field for us here at Unemployable because we're normally talking about business and money. But we've got Chris in, who specializes in epigenetics, he specializes in peptides, he specializes in the bleeding edge of wellness, anti-aging, and all of that good stuff. And this discussion's really wide-ranging. We talk about all of that stuff. I asked him also, as a 50-year-old dude, because I know a lot of our audience are guys my age, 40 to 50. I'm going to go out of 50. Tony over here is in his early 30s. But we talked about the difference between how Tony feels in life in his early 30s and I'm feeling now at 50. We talked about testosterone replacement therapy. I said, you know, I'm getting older, I'm losing muscle mass. Is there any peptides that I can use and to help me grow muscle mass? Or, should I just get on the TRT or should I get on the juice? And if I do, what are the knock-on effects? It's a really open discussion about all of this stuff and so much more. I think you'll find it really helpful. I certainly learned a lot from it. So enjoy. Drop a like, drop a comment if you enjoy it. And see you on the other side. What is up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of Unemployable. We are joined in studio today by wellness, longevity, health expert, Chris Barnes from the Gold Coast. How are you, Chris?
Absolutely amazing, Adam. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, when people say that normally, they just say it, but looking at you, I actually believe it.
Thank you, mate.
So Chris and I met, for the listeners, just to give you a little bit of context, we met at a, what would you call it? A spa?
Is this appropriate for this audience? Yeah. It was a very secluded sauna that you and I met in.
Yes, we did, with our shirts off.
Wow.
Yeah.
A very special moment.
Yeah, it was. We connected in a sauna. I think it was the Eco Village Bathhouse.
That was. Yeah, it's a wood-fired sauna in the middle of sort of this densely foresty area, and I was there with my wife and Chris was there just hanging out, and we just got chatting, and
here we are.
And I'm just reading your Instagram here. It says Chris Barnes, epigenetic biohacker, longevity, anti-aging, peptides and mental well-being, genetic testing, true age, and coaching. So that obviously is a really powerful hook I want to jump into and learn really what you do, how you do it, and why it's important right now. I just want to welcome Tony to the pod. How are you, mate?
I'm fantastic. I'm excited. You're like a ball of energy, so I can't wait to hear and see what you have to offer.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah.
You look amazing for 68 years old.
It's amazing. Age reversal and rejuvenation. Like, it's amazing what we can accomplish now, right?
Absolutely. Brian Johnson over
there. Brian Johnson that likes to eat food.
Yes.
Yeah.
Benjamin Button.
So. Oh, jeez. Yeah.
How old are you, Chris?
I'm 42.
42.
Yeah. Dude, okay. You look phenomenal at 42.
Oh, thank you, mate. Yeah.
Good so stuff. This stuff obviously works, which is phenomenal. We Eric's away, Mark's away, so you've just got the two of us today. But for all the listeners, you might be wondering, why have we got a health guy on? Well, I'm 50, and I can tell you now that I am dealing with problems that had I taken better care of myself coming up, and I'm by no stretch a Keith Richards over here, right? Like, I don't smoke, I don't really drink that much, you know, I'm just an entrepreneur who spent a lot of time in front of a computer, sitting down. I have lower back issues, which I finally got sorted thanks to Keezer and the team there. But, you know, even someone like me, who's a relative square out there, you know, by the time you get to 50, there's no free passes. And that's when you start to really get the bill for the way you've lived up until that time. So we got Chris on here, guys, because I can tell you right now, late last year, I was in hospital. I went in for a weekly massage. my back went into chronic spasm. I couldn't get off the bed, like literally 45 minutes, couldn't move. I was screaming in agony. They ended up having to call the ambulance, get me on the green whistle just to get me to sit upright, then take me to the hospital. That's how bad it had gotten. And I can tell you at that moment, it didn't matter how much money you had. It doesn't matter what car you've got in the garage or how fancy your home is. It all means nothing if you don't have your health. So that is why we've got Chris here, to not only preserve it so that you can enjoy your money when you make it, but also so you can feel better along the way. So Chris, how would you, in your language, describe what you do as a wellness, longevity, peptides, you got all the words in there, coach? Like, what do you do?
It's a mouthful, isn't it? Yeah. So look, I help men and women in their 40s and 50s, because you're spot on, Adam. It's typically around that time that we start to notice that pathways are not performing the way they used to. The enzymes, the genetic enzymes, start to drop, and then we start to notice that we're more sensitive to these foods, or our brain just isn't where it used to be with mental acuity and all these areas, digestion, right across the board. So it's typically the time that most people start to go, hey, I better start paying attention to my health, when, yeah, it may have been neglected, business owners, busy lifestyles. So in a nutshell, I help people peel back that curtain so they can understand themselves a lot better from a genetic perspective. So we can really precisely now test so many genetic variants in people to better understand how to eat, which supplements are likely to be more important from them from a potential deficiency perspective, which pathways do they have some potential enzyme deficiency, things like MTHFR, which is significant for neurotransmitter balance in people, so making the right amount of dopamine, serotonin, and this whole host of brain chemicals that make us happy and driven and just loving our life, right? So we can identify all these things, and then through diet and lifestyle, we can kind of get a little bit more precise with, okay, you need to eat more of these types of foods because it's more suited to your macros or your micros, or you've got some real genetic weaknesses in detox pathways. If you don't start to pay attention with more sauna, going to the toilet regularly and frequently and sweating and all these things, exercise, you could start to deal with some real toxicity in your system, which is going to lead to poor health outcomes down the line. So we test all that, and then we coach around that.
So how do you differ from a naturopath? Are you like a naturopath, for want of a better term, on steroids?
Yeah, definitely. Well summed up. I'm not opposed to performance enhancing molecules, peptides and things, provided they're administered in the right fashion, right? Because there's a lot of things that we can use now that have been around for a long time that are actually very therapeutic. But that's a whole other question and subject. But to answer that question, I have a background, a bachelor's degree in holistic health science degree, which I started, the whole pathway, which I haven't completed yet, was a doctorate and a PhD, which I'd like to get to at some point. But I did the bachelor's, and then I niched down into a certification, which is an epigenetic performance certification through an academy in the States, which is all around longevity and limitless potential. It really fascinated me. I went across to a conference over there, which was a big health conference, and met this doctor, and he specialized in this space. And I was just like, I finished my bachelor's degree, and I found that naturopathy is so broad. Like, it's like, where do I help people in here? Because there's so many different conditions, right? Gut health, brain health, whatever it may be. So I'm like, let's get to the root. Genetics. This is so specific, so bio-individualized for people to understand them at their root level, right?
So it sounds to me like you operate from sort of the basic level is sort of what you might capture with a good naturopath around gut health and all of those things. And then you layer onto that the sort of cutting edge epigenetic stuff as a second layer once you've got the base layer, and not many naturopaths and have that secondary training.
Look, I'm very systems approached and very holistic in that. So yes, 100%. I think more really good naturopaths and integrative doctors are starting to realize that genetics and epigenetics is the more novel, the newer science in this space, which we can talk about as well. But understanding your genetic weaknesses just offers a load of insight to then support through those foundational things, how to eat more, in line with those needs, how to detox, how to move, how to deal with your mental, emotional health. It's all these.
I've got a question for you around that, because you've thrown out some really important terms that we might understand here on the panel, but for the listener listening at home, they hear these words like epigenetic and bioavailable. And Alex Hormozi often talks about sell the destination of the journey. Mm. So I'd love to understand what the terms mean and how they can impact the listener.
Yes.
But for the person listening at home who wants more energy or focus or performance in their personal life or business or mind, would you be able to paint the picture of what these tests and things you're going to share can actually create for someone at home? Because if they know what they're going to get, they're going to want
to
do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where would you like me to go first? Like, explain what epigenetics is?
What's the outcome? Well,
yeah,
like,
yeah, the outcome.
What he's saying is, let's say I'm a tired, I'm 50, and I suffer sometimes from low energy, lack of energy, brain fog.
Mm.
What things that people are suffering from, like maybe describe what a typical patient who turns up to see you, and then after, like, give us your star testimonial.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Yeah. So, like, where are they before? Where are they after? And then let's bridge the gap with
100%. So, very, very common for me to have a client in their 50s, late 40s. They're coming in, they're running businesses, they're dealing with a lot of brain fog, fatigue. Mm-hmm. So, typically, I see a real trend in genetics around MTHFR, methylation genes for these people. So, how are they in activating key B vitamins and folate, which then plays a fundamental role in our energetic systems, our neurotransmitters, so dopamine, serotonin, things that make us really alert and really focused. So we look at potential breakdowns. So for example, I had a client yesterday, I won't disclose who they were. They had variations with their two MTHFR genes. These genes play a role in converting folic acid into methylfolate, the currency our body uses. Really important, but this type of genotype can have a real impact on their ability to produce dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine. All these things are so important. If we're low in any of those, we can have like morning fatigue, we can have daytime fatigue, up to 30% lower enzyme production across the board for these people. They're going to be flat, depressed, potentially dealing with anxiety. We can correct that for these people by looking at their diet, making sure they're getting adequate protein. Most people are not getting near enough good quality protein in the diet, making sure they're eating enough of the types of foods that have these natural folates in it, not folic acid. We want to avoid folic acid for most people. And foods contain natural folate. Folic acid, synthetic, man-made, not great for most people. So eating more of these types of foods provide the cofactors for these enzymes to function better. And then the side effect of that, or the ongoing cascade, is just better brain health, better energy, also increased nitric oxide production, circulation, more blood flow and nutrients to the brain. So these are the type of outcomes we can get for clients.
And how long do these transformations take? So they go in and do testing, you identify these genetic factors that may not have been identified before, you prescribe better eating or supplementation, and we'll talk about the other stuff.
Yeah.
But how long is that sort of journey for people?
It varies for everyone, Adam, like depending on their system and their dysfunction, but just getting enough of the right types of nutrition, the vitamins, can be very quickly impactful on their neurotransmitter balance and energetics. But typically months, we're talking months, like it's not a magic bullet by any means. You identify the areas that need support. You still have to go and do the right dietary approaches, the right interventions, the exercise and things to get the outcome right. A lot of people think that they can just go and get this type of testing and then they'll just be fixed. You got to do the work, just like anything, and it can take some time depending on the dysfunction. But if it's energetics and brain chemistry, those can be corrected relatively quickly with the right approaches.
What do you see commonly in this day and age? Like, who's your atypical client that comes in? What are they usually saying is going on? Like, I'm just trying to sort of get a big broad brush of
stress. Low energy, fatigue, very, very common in this age group. And it's typically because people are not sleeping well. So people, very common to be insomniacs or just really dysfunctional sleep cycles. So they go to bed, they fall asleep, but then they wake up 3 or 4 or 5 times a night. They're not getting quality sleep. Like, we need to be getting 7 to 8 hours a night of quality sleep. At the best, some people can get by on 6.5 when they've got shorter sleep phases genetically. But most 6 to 7. So if you're not doing that consistently, it's going to break down your whole system. You're going to be inflamed.
7 to 8. What was it?
7 to 8. Yeah. Ideally. Look, It can vary, and you're going to have nights where you don't get as much, but over a long period of time, 7 to 8 would be the optimal range.
Yeah, so you got stressed, you got the lack of sleep, low energy, and these symptoms, I think we just become comfortably numb with them. How do you see these symptoms impacting things like performance and production in work or in business or even with our families? Mm. Like, what are you seeing as the byproducts of these symptoms?
Just overall vitality and happiness, yeah. In general for most people. I would imagine if they're not feeling mentally balanced, they're not going to be focused and driven to probably accomplish the work that they have to. They'll get by probably just on the bare minimum. And just the vitality to be there present with. Like I've got three little kids under 10. I know the demands. So it takes a lot of energy around running a business. I run a business from home, school holidays, kids around a lot. It's full on, right? So if you're running on bare minimum energy, just getting by, everything's going to feel pretty weighty. So I think like just everything's going to feel a lot tougher, a lot more challenging when you're not running on a lot of vibrant energy or a lot of neurotransmitters to balance that whole landscape, because it's significant, right? Like when you're, as you can probably attest to, when you're mentally on all the time, it chews up a lot of energy and burns through a lot of those neurotransmitters as well.
Yeah, so you get to the end of the day and you're exhausted.
Absolutely.
So someone who's experiencing that at home, who is low energy, they feel like they're pushing a boulder up a hill, mm-hmm. and they get shit done, but they don't feel like getting shit done. If they go through these tests that you're going to go through in a second, what does it look like on the other side? What's possible for the people you work with?
Oh, absolutely rebalancing that entire process over time. Like if they're struggling with low morning energy or low hormones or just poor sleep, getting deeper and then rectifying and putting interventions into those areas is going to be impactful across the whole system, right? More energy, more resilience against all stresses. Not just emotional stresses, but just better, less reactivity. And I notice a lot in people and myself also, like I've been through bouts of burnout in business. And so I can understand people that are dealing with severe brain fog and low mood and low energy and those things. Because unless you've been in that space, it's like I've had my wife look at me sometimes and I've just had a glazed look over my, she doesn't get it. Like she's always really well balanced in that space. But for somebody that is dealing with low mood or low energy, it's almost like a vacant feeling in there, like you just feel very depleted. So for somebody to then regain an awareness and experience more energy, it's significant, right? Everything's going to function better. And that reactivity as well, if you're somebody that's constantly getting triggered, sign that you're probably running pretty high on stress, either high cortisol levels or imbalances in your neurotransmitters.
When I do mental health tests, which I do quite, you know, a couple times a year for myself, that's always on the survey, like how irritable, how triggered you get. And it's lack of sleep, lack of exercise, poor eating, same thing. So let's start at the beginning. So somebody comes in, they've got these signs, male or female, you're going to put them through a battery of tests. What tests typically will you put people through? How much do they cost? And why can't you just go and get them from a GP? Now, I know why, but I want the audience to know why a GP is not going to put you through what you're going to ask for. So what are you going to get them to do? How much is it going to cost?
Yeah, good question. So I typically steer most people to start with a comprehensive foundational genetic test because it offers by far the most insight into all those areas. So everything from energy, nutrition, macros, sleep, detox, longevity, genes, pretty much everything that you can identify that's going to support you in being more energetic, being the best potential of yourself, and just identify any potential sensitivities. We look at all those things like gluten, dairy, cognitive decline, cardiovascular risk factors based on certain...
All from one genetic all from, test.
Yeah, it gives us a lot of insight.
Is that blood draw or
saliva? Most genetics, when it comes to just testing DNA, is saliva. When we do the epigenetic testing, which goes a lot deeper into more of the DNA expression of genes to do with health, biomarkers, and aging, that's a blood prick test. Gives us far more information than a saliva, but for DNA, all we need is saliva. So typically it varies from $499 just for the test and report. I typically offer $980 is the full program, which is the test, the report and then the full consultation and feedback and supplementation recommendations for that?
$1,000.
$1,000. It's a one-off test you do once in your life. You never do it again for this information.
Okay. And so you get that and then you'll look at their genetic report.
Yep.
Give them a whole bunch of
stuff. We go through together, live via Zoom, explaining. I get health history as well, dysfunction. If anyone's dealing with mental health challenges, anxiety, energy, libido, any of those things, it just gives me more insight to go in and then look at patterns, because I see a lot of patterns in people if they're dealing with ADHD or focus issues. There's patterns in these genes that need correcting to alleviate a lot of those. I'm not saying cure. It's definitely not a cure for any of these things, but most of these things are typically a system out of balance, whether it's micronutrient level, stress, toxicity, inflammation.
All right. So once they've done that, is that when you then go into the epigenetic side? And if yes, what does epigenetics mean? What is it in plain language for the average Joe sitting on the train now on his way to work?
Yep. Just think of epigenetics is the newer science of understanding how that gene expresses based on the influence between our lifestyle and the environment. So it sits above the gene, and think of it like so genes are the hardware, contain all the information, the instructions for our body functions. Epigenetics sits above that. It's a bit like the software. It's dictating how a gene expresses. And the gene itself, we now know, can express differently to what it's coding to do through epigenetics. And that's where you can start to put different inputs in, whether a gene is known to have an association. You can actually change the expression of it with certain nutraceuticals or diet lifestyle interventions to either suppress a poor expression. If it's coding for a poor outcome, we can start to target that more precisely now. But in a nutshell, it's just how that gene expresses based on the environment and the lifestyle.
And when you say expresses, you mean that gene does.
So correct.
Like a gene that could give you cancer and you can suppress that expression through lifestyle choices and suppress that cancer. So you actually have a lot more control than you think.
Correct. Okay. So think of it. When genes are expressed, or we often refer to them as switching on and off. They're not so much switching on and off, but they're getting these little stickers put over them so they're not read at a time through that. So a lot more understanding that we can influence a lot of these cancer genes and a lot of these risk genes are only a very small factor of the overall pathology of a disease. That's the environmental. So how we think, what we consume, how we exercise, how we sleep, how inflamed we are, how toxic our system is, influences the environment that then influences how that gene is either read, expressed towards poor outcomes, or covered up so it's not expressing as negatively.
Yeah. So is this where you will see, or is this a different test where you'll see your predisposition to certain cancers?
You can do that through the normal DNA testing. There's a number of genes like the BRCA genes, which are commonly known to affect breast cancer. Prostate. We look at genes around prostate health and things. I typically see if somebody's carrying a lot of genes around lower enzyme activity for all those protective enzymes. So a lot of genes produce like glutathione in our body, our body's master antioxidant to put out any of those oxidative threats or inflammation, and a number of detox genes. They can then have increased oxidative damage in their body, increased toxicity because it's not getting dealt with. So yeah, you can test for those, but I tend to not try and focus too much on those because I know that the environment, looking after yourself more with that, is probably more powerful for somebody to go away than going, oh yeah, I've just got a bad gene. Because we know that like genes are not typically people's destiny. It's more to do with that diet, lifestyle, environment.
So you can be predisposed and still
100%.
Because I remember with I got a call out of the blue a few years ago, years after my mother passed away, from the Adelaide Hospital saying, "Just want to let you know that your mother had the BRCA gene."
Yep.
And then I went, and they said you might want to go in and get tested because in women it's breast cancer predisposition, and it's prostate cancer predisposition.
Yep.
I went in to go and see them, and then they said, "Oh, you have to sign up for counselling afterwards in case it." Like they wouldn't give me the test unless I had like a counselling
check
because I could find out that I, typical Australia, of course, put the floaties on and helmet and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess it's compassionate, but at the same time, so what you're saying is it's not necessarily your destiny. It is also, it's all these other factors around it.
So complex, that whole space, but understanding epigenetics gives us a lot of more ammunition now. So answering like that type of testing, not everyone does that, but if you're interested in going deeper and understanding what proteins and metabolites in your system might be associated with poorer health outcomes or accelerated aging, then we test those. So we can kind of test what could be driving aging in you, what could be associated with biomarkers that are going to affect your health if they're
so you way through a microscope and it'll say kids.
Oh, mate, if there's anything that, put me in a stressful situation over a long period of time, children.
You've tested positive for the KIDS gene.
Oh, they're wonderful, but they are given to us to test us, aren't they?
Yeah. So the epigenetic testing, just quickly, is how much?
So there's a few different types of epigenetic testing. So there's epigenetic testing to look at overall nutritional status. So looking at all of your vitamins, your proteins, your metabolites, that's about $750. And then $840 for it's called the True Age, which looks at all of those. It's probably the most comprehensive look at what could be driving your aging and, I guess, disease based on those biomarkers. That's $840.
Yep. Does that include the analysis?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's actually not crazy.
No.
I don't think.
No.
No.
But people might think it is, and that's where it's important to remember that once you lose your health, you will take every dollar you have to get that health back. So prevention is often better than the cure, right? Where is the cure? I want to talk about the hierarchy of health, because we got the genes, which are sort of like the things that sit there. Then you got the epigenetics, which is the environmental factors. And I know everything you do is probably case to case, so people can reach out to you. But in the hierarchy of health, we have sleep, nutrition, exercise, and then we also have things like microplastics now. Apparently, we've got huge amounts of microplastics in our boobs and our balls. Yeah.
Spot on.
Right? So for the average human at home, where would you start and work through? There's all these different areas of health. Like, where do you start?
No, it's a really good question, because I would always start people on those foundational things first. So what are going to be the most impactful for people who may not have the budget for genetic testing or the resources to get that done? So working on your sleep, exercise, nutrition, those three. Look, most people are not training effectively or adequately, and it's probably one of the most potent longevity interventions available. When we look at a lot of the studies to do with what's actually measured to reduce biological age and pace of aging, there's some crazy interventions out there with stem cells and things. But the things that most people can do, exercise has been shown to be very rejuvenating for age. It's something that everyone can do. Sleep, if you're not sleeping well, you're going to be in a state of accelerated aging, and inflammation as well. And we know that chronic inflammation is driving aging as well. So getting people to sleep at 7 to 8 consistently, working on that. So changing all of their sleep hygiene, getting to bed early, less blue light.
So much
out there, right?
Yeah.
And eating right? So there's so much information out there about eating. People carnivore, keto. Typically, the research shows the diet that's most supportive to aging is the Mediterranean. Mm. That's been tested with the latest epigenetic clocks, and it's showing that it's effective. So moderate lean protein, not too much excessive red meat. I still believe there's a place for red meat in the diet. That's my own personal opinion, but more vegetables for people. You don't have to go vegetarian or vegan, but there's clearly evidence for those leafy greens and colorful veggies being so supportive for detoxification, dealing with estrogen metabolites, which can drive cancers in people. I see it's one of the biggest areas I look at when I do genetic reports. The necessity for cruciferous vegetables for people is normally off the chart, because people
cruciferous,
so broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, rocket, that whole family is just so nutrient dense, great for circulation, but also just very anti-cancer.
So less red meat, more fish.
Typically,
if you're going to go for like a meat protein source.
Yeah. Leaner cuts of meat are more probably fish and poultry than excessive red meat.
So not your Wagyu marble.
Still have it, mate. Still have it. Just every now and then. Just enjoy it when you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can think of a lot of people that might be going, well, I'm busy, I'm trying to provide, and fixing my sleep. I've got kids, I've got work to do, fixing my nutrition. I'm on the run, exercising, tried it. It's the 13th or, you know, whatever, January, I'm done. So for those cases, how do you get someone to take it out of the too hard bucket, right? What are some interventions you can take away instead of that?
Yeah, simplify, because you're right. Like, breaking habits can be significant for people to steer that ship away from some poor habits of not training, not sleeping well. But it can be as simple as, okay, trying to go to bed 20 minutes earlier in the evening, and don't have any grand expectations to, like, people start training, New Year's resolutions, things like that, and they quit really quickly because they don't see the change. But we know that these things are still beneficial to us, right? Even though you can't clearly see a massive systemic change yet. But over time, those tiny little habits and discipline lead to the biggest results. So people just need to understand that, just simplify things. Don't try and change everything, your sleep, your diet, your exercise all at once. Just pick one thing, be consistent, exercise, go to the gym twice a week, or go for a walk 3 or 4 times a week. And start doing that consistently. Once you can do that and you've developed the habit of that, then move on to the next one. Start with the things that are going to be easiest for you, right?
Yeah. When it comes to diet, I think the big ones that Aussies probably struggle with is sugar is one huge one. Mm. It's in everything. It's almost unavoidable. You've really got to be conscious. Alcohol and excessive wheat and bread and gluten.
Yes.
Can you just, like, in one sentence for each of those, like, bread, sugar, alcohol, just give us why we shouldn't be eating too much of that. Just in a nutshell, because I heard Simon Cowell, from America's Got Talent, fame, whatever it is. What's the show?
Yeah, American Idol.
American Idol.
Yeah.
And he was on Diary with CEO with Stephen Bartlett. And right at the end, Stephen Bartlett always asked the guest, what's your one parting word of wisdom to anybody listening to this? And he said, eat less sugar. And I thought, oh, wow, that's actually really unique. So maybe you could just hit those three, because I know most people out there, even the healthy people who exercise and do everything right, will then go and eat half a bar of Cadbury. So what is that doing to us?
It's driving poor gut health. It's driving inflammation in our body. It's affecting our blood glucose and insulin levels, which is very associated with aging as well, leading to metabolic type 2 diabetes risk. Which is just not good.
Cancerous as well.
All of it drives cancer. Like, one of the big protocols when you look at most cancer doctors, very integrative cancer doctors, starving cancer with glucose, removing glucose. So, yeah.
So you're going to die sooner. You're going to be uglier. You know, it's going to ruin your energy levels.
Teeth will fall out.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, your cavities. Yeah, it's going to ruin your skin. It's going to age you quicker. So
I want you to listen, because I know some people don't. I was in a survey the other day, and a guy was buying a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah,
and it had a foot that was like 3 gangrenous toes cut off, and it's right there on the cover. And the guy turns to me, and the guy at the checkout says, "This stupid idiot shouldn't have been smoking with his feet, should he?" Ordered cigarettes. So no matter what you tell some people, they're going to keep going.
Mate, they're oblivious to it.
So that's something I've been battling, is sugar.
Sugar, yeah.
So that was the one that got me. And also when Gary Brecker, it was, said, if you're exercising and you have sugar before you go, or even after, the first thing that your body's going to consume is the sugar, not your fat. So you're wasting your time walking because it's just going to take the sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I heard that, I was like, well, why the fuck am I walking if I'm going to have something before or after?
Yeah.
And that's just almost cured me, like, right that. So it was interesting. I said, bread and alcohol, just quickly, because I know there's so many people suffer, and then we want to jump into the epigenetics and all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Look,
it's that time of year again at Unemployable, where we're opening up our Unemployable business coaching program. It's over a 12-month period, and with that, you get private one-on-one coaching, group coaching, as well as private and live events throughout the year. You could get private coaching with me, and not only me, but our panel of experts that we have put together. These panel of experts have been in our network and are the exact people that we use in our business successes. People from branding, sales, marketing, our lawyers, our accountants, everyone that has helped build our businesses, you have access to. If this sounds of interest, go to www.unemployable.com.au/coaching and register your interest to see if it's a fit for you and us. Hope to see you there.
There's more emerging evidence that alcohol at any level is not supportive for health, right?
Even red wine.
Look, there's health benefits in red wine, but I think you got to come down to the individual as well, like how well are they detoxing. I think any toxin can be beneficial to people with that hormetic stress, but for most people, alcohol is an accelerant for aging. It affects our brain, it affects our sleep, and gut health. So all those things a lot of people have struggles with. Less alcohol, I think, is better for most. You can still have a lovely red wine if your system's balanced and you can tolerate it well.
Okay. Yeah. And bread.
I'm not a big fan of wheat in general. Like, even if you are not that sensitive to wheat, there's enough evidence that it can affect your gut integrity and the lining. And most people have autoimmune issues today or gut integrity issues as well. So, and it also eliminates a lot of that refined sugar as well. So it's just easier to not eat a lot of it for better health, I think.
Is there a difference between sourdough bread? Is there an exception with
that? There is. If you're somebody that doesn't possess a lot of gluten sensitivity or celiac genes and good quality organic sourdough, fermented cultures in there can be healthy. I have a bit of gluten-free sourdough every now and then, and that's fine. It's just that balance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before we get into the epigenetics, I heard somewhere, and I don't know if this is true or not, that your gut produces 90% of your serotonin, so the happiness chemical, and 50% of your dopamine, the addiction chemical. Can you speak into the gut and how it affects your mental performance? How does that impact your health?
Significant. I don't know the exact percentage, but you're right. Most of the serotonin and a percentage of dopamine is produced in your gut, okay. Not so much your brain. So we treat all those dysfunctions going straight to the brain, right, and not actually addressing the dysfunction or the root of it. So inflamed gut, dysbiosis, all these things can have a massive impact on your mental, emotional well-being, right? There's a clear link between that gut-brain axis, the communication between the two. I know personally, if I eat something that throws my stomach, my brain is completely off. So there's a clear feedback loop between the two. And often, yeah, if people are dealing with a lot of emotional anxiety, depression, look at the gut as a supportive mechanism as well.
Yeah, I remember I went to the doctor 3 years ago. I just had my daughter. I was stressed at work. I felt all this pressure to provide. And I was trying to eat well and exercise and be healthy, but I was just struggling. So after 6 months of that, I went to the doctor and I said, I want some antidepressants. And he said, have you been to a psychologist? I said, yes. And he goes, okay, here you go. Didn't ask me about my gut, didn't ask me about my sleep, didn't ask me about my stress, just here you go. And I took that antidepressant and I couldn't keep my eyes open. And the next day I'm like, what am I doing? So I threw it in the bin and decided to get healthy. And you're right. Once I got my gut right and started eating well and exercising, the depression disappeared. So it's wild that we are in a civilization where it's just normal to give pills that don't really work, you know? It's great work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Do you have the epigenetic stuff that you want to go through?
Yeah, like I'd love to talk more about that. I think up to this point, a lot of people probably know, okay, less sugar, less bread, get off the piss, look after your gut.
Don't have any fun.
Yeah, I mean, in moderation.
It's important to have fun. I'm a big believer in like health is not found in extremes as well. Like there's a place to go and have your favorite food, or if you love a drink with your friends, and it can be very supportive. So you should, we're here for like an experience, right? I think people get so rigid with their interventions that they just lose all the fun in it, and it becomes so stressing.
I totally agree. Like if I ever get so serious about eating that I can't have a croissant when I go to Paris, I would rather die a month earlier than not be able to have pastries in Paris. Like honestly, it's all France.
Yeah, just
generally. Totally. Right? There's certain things. So I think that's all good. But I think what I'd like to sort of talk about is some of this more cutting edge stuff that is sort of out there now with epigenetics. Mm. And I'd also like to ask you about in men, these sort of testosterone replacement therapies, TRT, and those types of things that are becoming more popular. I've got a lot of friends in the States, particularly men that are obviously men that are using TRT, they look great. They report to feel much better, depending on what look you like, I suppose. I'd like to talk about sort of the pros and against from your point of view on those things. But from that epigenetic side, somebody goes in, they get their epigenetic testing with you. They figure out that there's certain like gluten intolerances or different things, because that would be an epigenetic.
That would be more in the genetic
test.
When we go into epigenetics, in particular, the type of testing that we do, we're looking at a lot of those typical biomarkers that you would typically go to the doctor and say, oh, look, I want a comprehensive biomarker to look at like my liver function, my iron, my HbA1c, which is like the fasting insulin average, all those things, not from the blood biomarker perspective, but this is going deeper onto the actual DNA methylation on those, which is by reports from the companies and the researchers, it's a longer running snapshot of those markers in your system.
So what are some common ones? Like somebody goes in, you see their epigenetic test, and you're like, oh, shit.
Inflammation.
Yeah, what do you mean by that? What does that mean?
Inflammation. So inflammation, there's a lot of inflammatory biomarkers like C-reactive protein. These inflammatory compounds that get released either by the liver or by other genes in the body in response to a stress in the body, whether it's dysbiosis, leaky gut, stress, too much alcohol, toxins, all these things. And they're very very damaging to our system because we know that excessive inflammation in general just affects how our physiology works. So it ages us faster, but it also means that we're not digesting, assimilating things well, and it just leads to more breakdown. Most chronic disease has inflammation at the root of it as well.
So you can identify from the epigenetic testing
if
you've got excessive inflammation,
correct,
and then where it's stemming from.
Typically, then we need to go back into genetic potential. So we can see some people naturally genetically have a higher coding for excessive inflammation. And then we look even deeper, what are the triggers? Are you eating gluten? Are you drinking too much? Are you not sleeping well? Are you not dealing with your mental emotional health very well? Are you somebody that's constantly ruminating about negative things in your head, which is constantly informing our system, right? So our thoughts influence our genes and their expression as well. So all those things, big picture, we look at all those, what could be driving it. But the true age is more focused on aging, like how fast are you aging? So we can really precisely estimate now your pace of aging. So for every calendar year, whether you're aging faster than one calendar year or younger.
Slower.
And this is based on a 50-year study that's still going called the Dunedin Pace of Aging algorithm, where they've measured babies from birth right up until this age. And then they've measured all these biomarkers to see, okay, out of this cohort, what are like the phenotypical, how do they look at a different biological age or pace of aging? And it's really interesting because some people can be very different with their biological age, even though they're the same calendar age, and that affects all of their disease and the rate of breakdown in their system.
So it tells you the aging, but it also tells you, so Gary Brecker, for example,
yeah,
when you sat down with Dana White, said you've got this long to live. That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Typically, that would be more epigenetic. Look, because, yeah.
A bit of a gimmick, maybe.
Look,
it can't be 100%.
Not 100%. All these things are estimates, right? And you need to understand that they're all, although they're really novel, so they're new, they're being built by like Harvard University and Yale and all these really great minds, but they're estimates at the end of the day. Our body is more complex than that, but based on some of the research, some of it is pretty definitive that they can almost predict like health span and lifespan based on these accelerated markers, based on the cohort and people they've measured over a period of time.
So if somebody comes in and says, oh, I eat super clean, I'm this and that, yep, and everything, this is going to call bullshit on them pretty
quickly. We can see. So
you'll say, look, dude, you've got massive inflammation here.
Correct.
Which then you can show it to them and say, here's the biomarkers.
Yes.
Now let's have a discussion about what's causing that.
Absolutely. So I like to marry them together because we've got the genetic blueprint, which is the DNA test to look at all those genetic weaknesses, propensities. So genes are always potentials, high risk. And then how is your diet, your lifestyle and interventions playing out and affecting those epigenetics, the aging, biomarkers, is it actually working more youthful aging or not? And then, yeah, just coach around that as well.
So is that a test you can do as well? You look at the genes and then the epigenetics, and you also look at the age. You can.
That's all included.
That's all part of the same thing.
That suite is really, it contains like the biological age, the pace of aging, the estimate of so biomarkers. So they call it omic age. So it's looking at all those proteomics, metabolomics, all those metabolites, mm-hmm, inflammation. They even added a new suite in there, which looks at all of your organ systems. So the age of your organs, age of your brain, based on their algorithms as well.
So and can you
break it down to,
yeah,
can you help somebody increase their, also decrease their speed of aging and increase their lifespan? Like,
yes.
Do you have clients come in and like, mate, you got 7 days left? And then you go to seven. Like, does that happen?
Like, yeah. Brian Johnson.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm probably less extreme than Brian. Like, I like to focus on what are the things that are sustainable. I don't think for most people, look, there's a lot of people out there that are happy to take 100 pills a day and not eat any real food because it's associated with improved age rejuvenation. I look at all those things that sleeping better, moving better, and then targeting some of those areas. If you're somebody with really high insulin or HbA1c levels, what can we put in the system that can help drive that down? So
what's your biological age?
So I was actually accelerated when I did mine. So when I first did mine, I was 40, and I was 40. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yeah, I'm doing okay. I haven't had the best kind of upbringing with my diet. And then when we put it through the new Omicam, I actually accelerated to 50.
Wow.
Yeah, and it explained in a great – my pace of aging was below. So I think this was a snapshot. So biological age is typically a snapshot of everything up until that point, whereas the pace of aging is more interactive and more of a snapshot of your current pace. So my pace of aging was good. My biological age was very accelerated. And I can understand some reasons. I was very inflamed. I was dealing with a really stressful period in my life for a number of years with a poorer business that we shut down. And then also some severe exposure to mold and gut, which really lit up my system. And I could see that in my report. So inflammation was off the chart. IL-6, inflammation off the chart as well. So
you were 40.
Calendar, chronologically. Biologically, I was higher.
And what have you worked that back now?
I'm going to do it in another 6 months. Right. So I'm going to give myself 12 months.
Yeah.
And I've been putting interventions in to help with inflammation, correcting gut issues, which I had during that period. If you haven't looked into mold exposure and what it can do, man, it's...
I saw that on your Instagram.
Oh, mate.
That's a big issue.
Mate, honestly, like I was dealing with a second business, which we had at the time, which we opened, and it was just a struggle town, a lot of stress. And then we had water damage in our house, and like we just put it away. I didn't know how severe that was at that time. Just kept it there, closed up. And then like over time, I was having like shortness of breath. My brain was shot. I'd go to the gym, I'd train, I'd come home, I'd be floored on the, like I'd have to lay down and have a sleep after the gym. Complete fatigue.
So you think this has had a huge impact?
Massive. I have no doubt. Like excessive inflammation had driven that biological age significantly, because my immune system based on that was quite dysregulated, because we look at the immune cells when we do the epigenetic testing, and it was really impacted by that.
How do we look for the mold stuff? Because in our bedroom at home, we have sliding curtains, the ones that go up and down, and there's mold all over the other side. So like, how do you look for it in your house, and how do you fix that sort of stuff if it's so serious?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, please understand that not everyone has a high sensitivity to mold. A lot do. When we look at mold sensitivity genetically, and typically if you're somebody that has a lot of gluten sensitivities, they're similar genes. And what it means is that your immune system, the antibodies, don't detect mold toxins very well. So they get in your system, they don't get detoxed very well. So visible signs, water damage, probably the worst thing. A little bit of mold here or there, probably not so impactful. But if you're somebody that's dealing with brain fog or skin issues or digestive issues, just really bizarre symptoms, and you've got visible signs like air conditioner units, notorious for anywhere where there's moisture, poor circulation, but typically water damage is one of the worst. Then foods, types of foods that people eat, so grains, corn, coffee. Like, I love coffee, but coffee's notorious for mycotoxins. So if you're drinking coffee...
Don't say that.
No, buy good coffee. Single origin's better. Organic. Not even organic's not always, but buy good quality coffee. But if you're drinking coffee and it's really disturbing your gut...
Mate, I was on a sailing boat down from Hamilton Island about 4 years ago, and the bread went moldy, like on the boat.
Yeah.
And they're all crusty sailors. And they're like, oh, no worries, just toast it. And I'm like... It had like green, grey mold on the bread.
Yeah.
They're just putting it in the toaster and eating it. Which is like, damn.
Well, some mold's okay, I think. Like moldy cheese and things, there's all different strains. And like I said, some people are really sensitive to it and it can really affect them. Others can be exposed to it and they're fine.
Dude.
Yeah.
So talk to me about peptides. So how does peptides fit into all this? I hear peptides, the word thrown around. Mm. I've got a friend who's currently on a bunch of peptides and is like, they sound sexy, like, you know, imagine.
The new thing, right?
Yeah, it's almost like stem cells.
Yeah.
What are peptides? Are they good? Are they bad? When should you use them? When are they being abused?
Yeah, just like anything. So peptides, just think of peptides as they're sequences of amino acids. So our bodies produce peptides daily. So growth hormone's a peptide. It's a long sequence peptide. There's gastric peptides, brain peptides. So we've been able to synthesize or use actual like peptides from animals as well. So depending on which ones you're using. But I'm a big fan because, one, they're well tolerated in our body because our bodies naturally produce a lot of these. So you're basically putting in an amino acid that then signals a response, right? So if you, growth hormone releasing peptides like CJC, epimorlin, are all designed to go in and then they stimulate your body to produce its own natural levels of this. It's heightened, more youthful levels. Could be like, I'm a big fan of BPC-157.
I actually got prescribed that.
Yeah, wonderful gastric peptides. So produced in our guts, but highly, highly beneficial for reparative pathways in our body, whether it's gut lining integrity, any injuries. If you're somebody dealing with chronic arthritic or just worn and torn knees and shoulders, necks, brain health. I'm somebody that's had a massive amount of concussions. I played semi-professional rugby league for many years. It's a massive area of interest for me because I see genetic weaknesses in people and then who play contact sports or fighting that they're really at risk for some severe damage to their brains. BPC-157, wonderful for healing.
In a little plastic syringe, like a gel. That was how I was taking.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've only taken it subcutaneous.
Okay.
But you can take it oral as well.
Yeah, I took it orally.
Yeah. So look, I'm a fan. Just like anything, it can be abused, and some people may not necessarily need it, and some people may basically throw themselves out of balance if they're using.
So
things.
Is that like HGH?
So you can take HGH, which is growth hormone. It's actually putting growth hormone into you.
Right.
So growth hormone releasing peptides like the CJC, epimorlin, they help you secrete more growth hormone by yourself.
So instead of shutting down what your body's
doing,
it's just promoting it. Because that's what TRT does, right? TRT replaces your body's testosterone, whereas these peptides don't cause any side effects and they let your body do its thing.
Just like anything, there can always be side effects for some people. Everyone's different and you need to approach it and do your own due diligence as well, because even supplements can have kickbacks, right? Medications have side effects. Peptides can be pretty powerful, right? I've used Epithalon, which is a pineal peptide, which is associated with anti-aging. So very, very supportive. Some of the research on that is very promising.
Is there anything like if like I'm 50, so look at him and he's got heaps of muscle mass, or he's younger, 20 years younger. And so as I get older, the muscle mass starts to dissipate a bit. Like, is there anything that's healthy to help me put on mass?
Yes. Yeah.
Like to go to the gym if I don't want to shoot up the roids. Nobody on the Gold Coast does that, by the way. But if I don't want to get on the juice, but I want to put on some size as a 50-year-old guy, what's the best way to do that?
Absolutely. So beyond peptides, if you wanted to do something that would enhance growth hormone, there's also testosterone-boosting peptides that work on luteinizing hormone, which is the precursor before testosterone. So you can do those. If you don't want to go down peptide pathways, things like creatine been used for...
But do they really work? Are they just like a bit of a, like, you get a little bit of a change, but like if you want...
Creatine, for most, it's one of the most widely used performance enhancing. It's cheap. Some wonderful benefits for cognitive health and even bone health now, but muscle mass, like I've used creatine. I've promoted it a lot when I was in the gym, and it helps with recovery. Performance in the gym can help build lean muscle mass. Getting enough protein in your diet. There's some interesting peptides which are coming to the market, which is
What peptides might be helpful?
Yeah, for you, like the CJC, epimorlin, growth hormone. So growth hormone is going to enhance all hormone systems in your body, and it's known to increase muscle mass.
Is that problematic if I have a cancer that I don't know about and it'll
grow
the cancer?
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So always, and look, that's a whole other conversation. But there's some really emerging cancer screening, like MRI screens now in the States, but there's one on Mermaid Beach as well, radiology, that apparently they can do a MRI.
Full body one.
Full body and detect like stage zero. Yeah, so then you can tackle it.
I've heard about this.
Yeah.
And like a full.
Correct.
And
yeah.
That's a mermaid in there.
Mermaid, yes.
Yeah,
mermaids.
So perhaps get an MRI, full body scan.
Yeah, if you're worried. If you're worried about it, absolutely.
Yeah. But then CJC. Now, a good friend of mine is on TRT.
Yes.
He does the injections. Mm. And he said to me, I was burned out. I'm lying in bed with a beautiful woman every night, and I'm not into it, right? Like, I've got no libido.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me, right? Like, I've got this glamour, and I've just got no sex drive. I'm feeling flat. And then I go on TRT, and I said, it's made me focused. It's brought back. Like, I sit here with this guy or other young guys like him. And I remember when I had that drive and I had that, like, you know, and as you get older, it's
primal instinct.
Yeah. Well, there's the libido side, but there's also the killer instinct in business.
Mm.
Like, as I age, I give less and less fucks about most things. And I'm trying to work out, is it actually just because you get richer, or is it because you get tighter, or is it both?
Yeah.
You know, when you're coming up, you're hustling and all that. So, you know, and he says, it's changed my life. I love it. He looks ridiculous. Like, he doesn't look like a steroid head, but he looks really good. But I, in the back of my mind, I'm like, and he works out a lot as well. Like, it's not free. Mm. He's still got to do the work. What's wrong with that?
Look, I haven't used it. I've looked into it a lot with people. I think for some it is essential. If their T is through the floor and they've tried many times and mechanisms to optimize it through diet, lifestyle interventions, I would always start foundational. Why is your T through the floor? What is it? Is it chronic stress? Is it poor nutrition? Not enough of those key micronutrients, minerals to optimize. Look, speaks for itself, doesn't it? Like, people that have used it have said it's been life-changing. Switch, but do you have to stay on it forever as well? Like, if you go off it, do you drop back because you haven't done the foundational?
I can speak into this. Yeah. So I am on TRT and I'm only 33, but I spent 3 years optimizing sleep, nutrition, diet, exercise, hired experts. I did a lot of the epigenetic tests and I just couldn't get it to where I needed it to be. And I highly recommend anyone listening, do your research and do all the tests and optimize, come to someone like you first. But it was game changing for me as well. My resilience to stress.
I bet.
Libido was never an issue.
Not even the crack of dawn.
Just enhanced it, did it?
I can even grow a little bit of facial hair now. I couldn't, but I would say that TRT is very different to steroids, right? So TRT is taking your testosterone to the normal range where it should be for a man. And low testosterone, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is linked to prostate cancer, like all sorts of diseases. So just to get to a regular range of testosterone is probably very important for most men, right?
It's essential. Yeah. Like, there's a direct correlation between low testosterone and Alzheimer's risk, especially in men. Yeah. So you want to be optimized. You want to be in that optimal zone. No, it doesn't have to be out of the charts. That's not going to be beneficial.
Mine's just normal now.
Exactly.
It was so low.
Exactly.
Like, so low. Yeah. I did everything right and I was exhausted 24/7.
I bet.
I just want to acknowledge you for sharing that because a lot of people wouldn't publicly admit to that.
Oh, no, I didn't. What? I didn't say anything.
Yeah, exactly. I feel better now too, by the way.
It's just the essence of a true biohacker, right? Like, self-experimentation and working on yourself to get yourself to that optimal range, right? Like, and everyone should become that, right? Like,
my friend who I'm talking about here, he and I were in the US, spent time together there, and he said the difference between the US and Australia is that in Australia you'll go get a test and the doctor will tell you, well, this is normal testosterone level. In the US, what they do is they say, okay, well, here's sort of a range of normal, but how are you feeling? And they will prescribe based on how you're feeling and not just on a number, which kind of to me makes sense because everybody's different, right? Everybody's got a whole bunch of different, they're high in this and low in that. And what, I'm not a doctor, obviously, or a scientist, but it makes sense to me that, like, you might be high in something else, but something over here is pulling you down. And I think my testosterone's maybe slightly low, but it's not chronically low. Mm. But I look at this guy and I can feel his energy. He's vibrating and I can feel other guys that I'm hanging around with. And I'm just looking at him going, this motherfucker's like a bulldozer. I don't even the crack at dawn is safe for us. So I do wonder, I'm kind of interested in it, but I don't want to be damaging my health, but I do want to look and feel better.
100%.
And that mental clarity and that stable, you know. So anyway, I just thought, you know, so I want to put drops in here. We're not giving medical advice.
No.
And we're not like, you've got to do this under the supervision and all that sort of stuff. And some of the stuff we say might not be factual. So go check it, right? Like, we don't know.
Just opinions on the internet.
But, you know, so what is your advice for someone just generally who is like me, for example, that is seeing results from people? Like, how do you go about doing it safely if you're going to go do it?
Yeah, there's a number of clinics and doctors that specialize in this, right? And they'll work with you to measure those ranges and make sure that you're optimizing those within the healthy range. And you're also feeling the therapeutic benefits of those.
Is it illegal to do it if you're outside of those ranges? Like, let's say I have got normal testosterone, but I feel like shit, and I eat well, and I exercise, and I do everything else.
I think if it's prescribed through the right channels, it's not illegal.
Like, you need to find a doctor. That's,
yeah, like,
willing.
Like, I prescribe peptides often, and it's all done through our providers who are doctors, right? They go through that pathway, and then they can administer themselves at home, right, or in a clinic. I think there's mechanisms and pathways to do that safely and manage it.
I got your back. I know a guy. No, I'm kidding.
In the back alley here, right?
I'm kidding.
In Australia, there is a bit of, I got a lot of successful business friends in the US, and they're like all on it. They're like, what the fuck? Of course we're on it. Like, why would you not be on it?
Yeah.
Whereas in Australia, it's like you have two Panadols and you're like, oh, go easy there, champ. You know, it's very, very, and that's a good and bad. You know, like, Americans take pills for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so on one side, I'm like, you know, I like the American attitude of optimized based on how you feel. Mm. But I also am very wary of drugs. And, and so I think it's something for the listener to really weigh up, talk to lots of people, go speak to some experts about it.
Mm. Absolutely. And it's that bio-individual approach to yourself as well, because what works really well with somebody else may not be the right approach for you, right? Like, you may gain really good benefit going down the pathway of some growth hormone releasing peptides or something else that just gives you some more vitality as a stepping point. And then if that gets exhausted, you're not getting the results you need, you can always go TRT, right? Yeah.
One thing I would say as well is that I believe that every human gets to feel fucking amazing, and there are going to be things that get in the way of that. You mentioned your business and the stress it used to cause, but we get to feel energized, weaponized, and on fire each day. And if you're currently not feeling that way, you're listening at home, you got brain fog, low energy, you're tired, then go and see an expert like yourself and try and find a way to feel that way. Because life's so much better when you feel like that.
Oh.
You know, and you don't have to be on TRT to feel that way.
No.
You know,
no.
You can feel that way.
One thing I've realized since starting this journey in this business, and I chat with a lot of people just on discovery calls, so many people don't feel vibrant and well. Like, they open up about their dysfunction over the phone, and it's scary how much imbalance there is out there in people. And the reality is that, like, we may be kind of living longer with advancements, but we're not living better with that health span. So, yeah.
I totally can see that. Absolutely. And I think stress, like, you know, talk to this. Those old sayings are old sayings for a reason, because they're true.
Mm.
And my doctor said it to me many times, stress is a killer. And I think in modern life, stress is a really huge factor. Cost of living, all these different things, and the toxicity that comes out of, like, honestly, I open up my social media and I'm constantly amazed at how many words there are for having big teeth. Like, I have been...
For you? The trolls out there just going at you?
Oh, my God. Non-stop. And, like, it's just... Most days it's okay, but some days you're tired or whatever. You go, I really shouldn't respond. And then you go, listen...
How do you deal with that? Because it's a really good point, because
it's real, and like, teenage kids get it worse, you know, like, so it's really, this device, it can become really, really toxic to mental health, and it makes you feel bad. And we say those words so quickly, but it literally makes you feel bad.
Oh, it does.
And it creates stress, and you've got these bad chemicals being released when you've got I had somebody fill out a web form the other day on adamhudson.com. You're a C-U-N-T. That's it. My email address is go fuck yourself at UCUNT.com. Like, you just get it. Like, as when you know, and one part of you goes, fuck it, move to Cyprus. The other half of you is like, don't look at it. And so I've spoken to some of my mentors recently, and I'm doing some meditation and different things because, yeah, so but that's just my unique case. But I think there's a lot of people who get a deal with, and then they feel stressed, and then they, of course, it triggers eating badly, and then they get into a fight with a spouse because they don't feel good about themselves, and then that creates them more, and it's just a cycle of shit that people get into. So I think it's really important to really, I like your approach where you go, okay, we're going to start with what the body's telling us. I'm going to show it to you. And for everyone listening, it's so powerful when you get these types of tests, because when you actually see the science, with my lower back, they did a scan of my muscles and they showed my back muscles are fine, like two lean fillets of beef. And then when I get down to L2, L3, but my lower back pain was, it was like looking at Kobe Wagyu, gone, was full of fat.
Wow.
And they showed me the scan, said, that's where your back pain is.
Yeah.
It's all gone to jelly because you have not strengthened your lower back. In fact, you're in the bottom 5th percentile of men for your age. And I look at myself and I go, how am I in the bottom 5th percentile when I look at myself? I'm not fat, but my lower back strength is pathetic.
Wow.
Because I've spent so long doing this and in front of a computer for 30 years. And I did another. And so when I saw it, clicked on. When I did, I get PRP in my hair to stop my hair falling. So they pull blood out, they spin it, then they suck the plasma layer, then they re-inject the plasma in. And one day, I eat McDonald's maybe once or twice a year, maybe. I don't know what it is. It might be that I see it, an ad or something, and I just impulse, I want McDonald's. This one time, I went up to the guy, I'm about to get my blood drawn. I had McDonald's on the way up, right? Stopped at the survey that's got a Macca's. Had a Big Mac meal, right? Sits down, draws my blood, and he holds it up and goes, somebody's had a really shit lunch. What did you eat? It's all cloudy. And like literally 30 minutes after I've eaten it, it's into my bloodstream.
Wow.
I'd lived my whole life and not seen that, right?
Oh, wow.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, because I see my blood every 6 months when I do this.
Yeah.
It's usually sort of kind of clear after they've spun it. There's sort of like the dark red, there's the plasma layer, and it's got like a clear yellow. It was cloudy. And he goes, don't worry, your liver will clean it up. And I was like, oh, and I almost have never eaten McDonald's since I actually saw the direct impact.
It's confronting, right?
Yeah, straight away. It'd be like a smoker sees a lung. It becomes real. So anyway, what I'm getting at here is that what I like about your approach is you can get the markers, you can go and make the changes, and I imagine I could come back and get the markers again and see a change.
We often, beyond the genetic test, we have people, there's a lot of people actually in the country now that are following Brian Johnson's blueprint, and they're doing it every 3 months to measure the true age and pace of aging, because that epigenetic change does change based on our interventions, right? So you can actually see, are those interventions working towards more youthful aging and biomarkers? So they're doing it regularly. I typically encourage people 6 to 12 months is a minimum. Enough, you don't need to be measuring unless you're really following a program. But yeah, do your biomarkers, do your epigenetic testing, just to track, and then manage accordingly, right? Like if something's working or it's not working, or be more intuitive with yourself as well. How are you feeling?
Chris, I love it. We're out of time. Let's tell people where to find you to become a client or just to talk to you and find out how you can help them. Chris Barnes, so that's B-A-R-N-E-S.
Correct.
ChrisBarnesWellness.com.au, or you can follow him on the gram, which is Chris Barnes Wellness.
Spot on.
Connect with you on either place. You help people all over the country.
I do, yeah. We work nationally, internationally with this as well.
Okay,
yeah,
that's amazing. I think I'm definitely going to get a couple of these tests myself just to have another look. And I love talking to people who look like, you look at you and you're healthy, right? So
yep.
I like to eat off fat bakers and fit doctors.
I love it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to chat about these themes, and absolutely love it.
Yeah, you can see it. So thanks for coming in, mate. We appreciate it. Everybody at home, get on it. Prevention is so much better than a cure. And, people like Chris are available. go get the work done, guys, especially because, you know, we just put it off. And we finally listen to our partners or our wives, and we get it sorted, and you just feel so much better.
Yeah, invest in yourself. We invest in our businesses. We invest in our families. Invest in yourself.
Yeah, totally. You're worth it, as they say in Revlon. All right, guys, have a great day. Drop a comment. Bye for now.
Hey there. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.